Let's do it. Yeah.
Definition of half man, half drugs. Ask the clubs, bad boy, that's what's up.
Oh, it's Jade Kolf with the Kolf Man. It is no holds barred. On today's program, we are bringing the heat. We are bringing the fire. On the program today, we've got the Australian Open rap. Women's final and the men's final. Novak Djokovic wins his seventh title. We've got Davis Cup, Australia versus Bosnia, but doesn't really matter anymore. Does anybody care? We've got the Super Bowl breakdown from Atlanta. Tom Brady wins his sixth ring. What went wrong for the pathetic Los Angeles Rams? And we've got NBA action. What the heck is going on over in the States? It's absolute pandemonium. Players moving everywhere. It's chaos all over the place. This is no holds barred.
All of a sudden, niggas got a problem with me. Black, what happened? They running around acting like the black don't care eat. And you know what?
What?
For some strange reason, I'm off of this medication, feeling deranged, needing for y'all to put the word out.
Come on.
We ain't leaving. We trying to be rich before we all stop breathing. Therefore,
what?
We kind of hustle lanes. Stay laying down our muscle game. Still turn niggas' dreams to flames. On the cover of your vibes, yeah. Double like cells and sauces,
come on.
Bitch.
Yeah.
And we are back in the studio. It's no holds barred time, the no holds barred sports podcast. Jade Kolf at the Kolf Man coming to you live in the studio. We are in the studio and we are back, and I am pumped to be back on the airwaves because we have a lot to talk about in the world of sport this week. It has been action-packed. And first port of call on today's show, we're talking the Australian Open. We're about a week out from the end of the first Grand Slam of the year. And what an event it was once again down there at Melbourne Park. The number one tournament, the number one Grand Slam in the world. That's just not me saying that. Players, coaches, everybody involved with the event who has experienced all the major tournaments all over the world. The French Open, Wimbledon, the US Open. Yes, the Australian Open is the clear-cut number one. And they put on another extravaganza down there at Melbourne Park for 2 weeks. And we're going to break down both the women's final and the men's final, what we saw, what went down, and what to expect moving forward for the WTA and the ATP Tour seasons for 2019. Congratulations goes out to Naomi Osaka winning the 2019 women's title, and what a heck of a final it was over Petra Kvitova from the Czech Republic, 6-4 in the third set to the Japanese superstar, and she closed it out. There were some testy moments for Osaka there. In the second set, she was all over Kvitova and had match points in that second set. Couldn't close it out. The lefty from the Czech Republic, the two-time Wimbledon champion, really dug deep there and made a real top and titanic clash of it. Nothing better than watching Grand Slam finals that go the distance. And the women's final definitely stole the show. But Osaka was able to really show great mental fortitude and toughness once again, like she did at the US Open that last year in 2018 when the Serena Williams fiasco took place. Complete meltdown from Williams. We all know about that. I'm not going to get into the details on that. Just gets me fired up and quite annoyed the way she carried on there. But Osaka was able to find a way to win that match there in New York, and she found a way to pull it out of her hat here in Melbourne. It could have been a real disaster having those match points in the second set, and she was really dominating Kvitova in all areas of the game. But great courage from Kvitova to fight back. But it was Osaka who closed it out. She has a real belief in herself that she can, you know, overcome adversity, overcome some tricky situations, and she closed it out and was a deserving winner. As I said, 6-4 in that third set, and that catapults her to the new number one female player in the world, and probably rightly so. She's a breath of fresh air, just 21 years of age, and yeah, sets herself up for a huge 2019. She really is the new kid on the block, and she won the Masters 1000 event there the middle of last year. Over in the United States, which really gave her the confidence to kick on. The US Open really sort of came out of nowhere. But I saw Osaka 12 months ago at Melbourne Park, where she lost in the fourth round. Saw her on the outside courts, and she looked prime. There was no doubt about it. She was one that was going to be a major threat. I wasn't sure so soon, but she's gone from third or fourth round of slams to now winning slams. New number one player in the world. Remarkable, really, the Japanese superstar. And she plays for Japan, but she has Haitian heritage as well, and is based in Florida. Spent a lot of time in the United States at an early age, throughout her teenage years, training down there. It's, you know, sunny 11... Yeah, somewhat 12 months of the year there in Florida. Very strong athletically there. Great training base there for all professional athletes, especially tennis players. And she has cashed in on that. And Naomi Osaka, congratulations to her. As for Kvitova, I said the two-time Wimbledon champion. She is a phenomenal ball striker. When she is in full flight, there's no one better to watch in the women's game, in my opinion. And, you know, really showed huge courage in the final, but also she showed huge courage coming back. You know, as we probably know, listeners out there, if you didn't know, Petra Kvitova suffered a knife attack there a couple of years ago in her apartment. An intruder invaded her her apartment, and there was a scuffle involved, and Kvitova's left hand, the hand that she grips the racket, was badly cut, and doctors feared that she may never play again. And, you know, she's gradually found a way back, you know, did the rehabilitation, went through a lot of pain to actually just back get out on court, both physical pain and probably mental scars more than anything. And she has slowly made her way back. Won 5 titles last year in 2018, 5 titles, but didn't perform very well in the majors, in the slams. So 5 titles is a very successful season. If you're winning upwards of 4 or 5 titles on the women's tour and on the men's tour, you are in elite company there. And the 5 titles there for Kvitova really showed that the writing was on the wall. Back in the top 10 now, I believe she's at number 2 in the world. So Osaka and Kvitova at number 1 and 2 in the world, and they could not be more deserving of those 2 accolades. Moving forward on the women's tour, a bit of a break for these top women. There are a couple of 250 events being played in Asia, I believe, this week. I think Kvitova took part in that, maybe made the quarterfinals there, but I think she's probably long overdue for a break, and will freshen up and then attack the major events, both in Miami and in California in the United States over the next 4 weeks. So both girls deserving of a break, and they have set their seasons up. A tremendous women's final in 2019. Coming up, we are going to break down the men's final. Novak Djokovic and Rafael Nadal, the number 1 and 2 players in the world. It was all one-way traffic. It was a Serbian superstar taking his 7th Australian Open title, and he did it in emphatic fashion. We will come back here in the No Holds Barred studio and we'll talk about how we got it done. This is No Holds Barred.
From my head down to my shoes. No 22s. Check my baby mama.
Dog, catch him solo, they cheese, don't shot me, dog. But get the fuck, slide on out the way. And let BG ease down the shine lane. Let the diamonds and the jewelry light shit up. Each piece of jewelry I own, I ice it up. You don't wanna put your...
We are back! This is No Holds Barred, Jade Kolf at the Kolf Man. And we're about to talk about the Australian Open Men's Final. And it was built up, the number one and two players in the world, but it was an absolute fizzer. Novak Djokovic dominated Rafael Nadal, much to the amazement of 15,000 people in Rod Laver Arena and a global audience all around the world. And he won his seventh Australian Open title, and he did it in the easiest way he knows how, just with precision tennis from the back of the court. Absolutely elite, world-class returning from Novak Djokovic. And Nadal was bothered and bemused out there. He was off balance constantly. He couldn't figure out the puzzle. He looked unsettled from the get-go, and That's not normal for the Spanish bull to really look lost out there. As I said, he was always off balance, and Novak Djokovic was as stingy as could be with the unforced errors. And it was a straight sets victory for the Serbian superstar, his seventh title, and he is a clear-cut number one player in the world right now, ahead of Nadal. And the question really becomes, how many titles can he win, and who is a threat to Novak in 2019? Coming into the final, Nadal didn't drop a set. Coming into the final, he was dominant early on. He destroyed Thomas Berdych in straight sets in round four. Francis Tiafoe from the States, he made short work of him, and then he completely dominated Stefanos Tsitsipas in the other semi-final. So coming in, the form was there for Nadal to make an impact in the final, and it was probably a 50-50 bet coming into the final, but he was way off. And people started to ask, what was the matter? Was he injured? Coming in, he was underdone. I think it was a combination of, coming in, he was underdone with the match play. Hadn't played a lot since October of last year after he had, I believe it was ankle surgery. And, I think it may have taken its toll, playing, six matches like that. And then he just ran into an absolute buzzsaw in Novak Djokovic. And Nadal wasn't able to get the ball in the spots that he wanted. Every time he tried to get on the front foot to attack Novak, he couldn't get the forehand where he wanted to put Novak under pressure. And Novak was absolutely in precision mode. He was like a sniper out there. Every time he had time, he hit his spots, and Nadal was constantly off balance. And Novak just pulled him around the court. It was like something we hadn't seen before. But it was a clear-cut winner, Novak Djokovic. And as I said before, it really is where do players go from here. Novak, I believe he only gave up something like five unforced errors throughout the entire contest. That is absolutely out of this world kind of tennis. And, he played defense as well as ever. The return of serve was probably the most impressive part. Just really neutralized the Nadal serve. No free points at all. All balls were coming back, deep with velocity down the middle. That is the number one return in world tennis, in any tennis, deep down the middle. Novak has perfected that, and Nadal was really lost for words. He couldn't figure out the puzzle, and Novak was absolutely clinical and thoroughly deserved his seventh Australian Open title. Now he's the most successful player ever to grace our shores. He moves on to 15 Grand Slam titles and puts pressure on Nadal, who sits at 17. Roger Federer at 20 Grand Slam titles. So Roger's got to be nervous there. Novak got 6 or 7 years on Roger. Novak only 31 years of age. He looks... gee whiz, over the last 9 months, he's been as good as ever. And out of nowhere, too, he looked like his career was done in terms of adding to the Grand Slam trophy cabinet. And now he's won 3 consecutive. He'll go into the French Open as possibly a second favourite there, definitely a second favourite behind Nadal. But could he win all 4? That's going to be the narrative moving forward in 2019, unless some of these players can make an impact, and they need to start to make an impact starting in Miami and California, the Masters 1000 events coming up. If Novak sweeps them there, oh, gee whiz, it's really Novak by how far for the rest of the season. Super impressive performance from the Serbian superstar. Some scary stuff. And Nadal, he was gallant in defeat, but he was found wanting in the final, and it wrapped up what was another phenomenal Australian Open. Probably not the final we wanted. We wanted another 5-hour blockbuster like the one they dished up in 2012, which I still believe is the most crazy tennis I've ever seen. The way they were both moving around the court, the velocity that they were hitting, it really looked like video game tennis. I keep saying that. It looked like video game tennis, like someone was playing a video game. Didn't look like it was real. Truly phenomenal phenomenal stuff back then in 2012. Conditions were a little bit slower this year. The new Dunlop balls, I had spoken about that. That definitely came to fruition. It brought Roger Federer unstuck in round 4 against Tsitsipas, the new Greek sensation. And Novak just eats up those conditions, those night conditions where conditions are a little bit heavier, the ball's a little bit slower. He becomes a human brick wall, and he's virtually unbeatable in those conditions. And he was unbeatable once again, exposing Rafael Nadal in straight sets. Coming up, we are going to talk about Davis Cup and what went down in the tie, Australia and Bosnia. Do we even really care about what went down? Davis Cup format has changed. Best of 3 sets now. No home and away ties. In my opinion, it's definitely not the same thing, and I'm not the only one there. It's been a real big talking point. We'll come back after the break here at No Holds Barred to talk about that Davis Cup tie and what to expect from the Australian team moving forward. This is Jade Kolff at the Kolff Man. You're listening to No Holds Barred. The last day of spring, see you first day of summer. I'm a bad mother, shut your mouth. Pull a drop out, creep at a low speed. His homie probably know me, I push the pedal. Thoughts of yours, stiletto, way up in the air. Like I think he's here, cause see, every time that I'm alone with you, homie be checking up on you. Every little thing that we do should be between me and you. We are back. Jade Kolff at the Kolff Man, the No Holds Barred Sports Podcast. Great to be back in the studio. It's been a big week in sport. And, gee, I tell you what, if you're looking forward to the Davis Cup, if you had a blink, you would have missed it. Australia and Bosnia from Adelaide, and it was Australia, a complete whitewash. 3 rubbers to 0. And really the topic is, does anybody really care about what went down there? If you take a look at the people in the stands, they didn't really care. I think a lot of the Australian public really don't care about it anymore. Been a lot of controversy coming in terms of the Australian lineup with the whole Bernard Tomic, Nick Kyrgios, Saga, Leighton Hewitt. We're not going to get into that. If you want to get into some other topics that are really worthwhile talking, I want to talk about the Super Bowl and what's going on over in the United States with the NBA. It's absolute pandemonium and chaos over there. It's a lot more interesting than Tennis Australia, Davis Cup, Leighton Hewitt and Bernard Tomic. But in saying that, Australia, Bosnia was never going to create much excitement with this tie here, especially when it was on in our backyard. It would have been a much more interesting and competitive tie if we had to travel to Bosnia. They probably would have played on a clay court, a slow clay court over there. The Davis Cup format, as we know, it's changed from home and away matches. So instead of travelling to a nation and playing over a weekend head-to-head in best of five sets, now Australia will go to a location at the end of the year for a one-week event with 18 other teams. It will be best of three and it'll be the last nation standing. Does anybody really care about Davis Cup anymore? I think it's completely, the format's completely changed. I'm not sure of the value and the prestige that it now has. What made the Davis Cup so great was playing for your country over the best of five format. Just like the Grand Slams, just like the majors, best of three doesn't test you out as a professional at all. We're playing best of three sets at the minor events on the ATP Tour throughout the year. It's the Grand Slams and the big matches that is the pinnacle. And Davis Cup was definitely the pinnacle for a lot of the athletes, a lot of the players. And now that prestige has been taken away because of this ridiculous, crazy and selfish format. And it's all based on greed. It's all based on money. I really hope that, not only myself but a lot of others as well, really hope the old format comes into play. I hope this new format's a complete disaster, and I hope it goes back to the way it was. But we're not going to see Davis Cup again till November or December of 2019. So the ATP Tour is going to go on its merry way, but then all the nations that made the finals, the 18 nations will get together and play a 7 to 10 day tournament to round out the season, round out the year, and the last nation standing will be crowned the Davis Cup champion. So hopefully after this year, after the, what you know, with this new format, hopefully the powers that be are moved aside and it goes back to the way it was. So as I said, Australia took care of business. They had Alex de Minaur and John Millman, in the singles. Those two guys, I don't believe, are going to do serious damage against the big boys. If we were going to be a threat in, team competitions against, the biggest nations and the best countries in the world, we need Nick Kyrgios up and firing. We need him in the number one slot because Alex de Minaur just hasn't got the firepower to compete against the big boys. I've been saying that for a while. He got exposed at the Australian Open where Rafa Nadal bullied him around the court. He was serves at 175 kilometres maximum there on Rod Laver Arena in that night match where I was sitting there in the skybox area live, and Nadal just basically laughed at him, hit winners off the first serve. He was playing defence straight away and he was absolutely blasted. Now he's going to be able to maintain that ranking, I believe, around that 25 to 40 area based on just his preparation. His hustle. He is a very good athlete. Speed wise, he's very quick, but he needs to find a way to up the power game this year in 2019. Otherwise, he's going to stagnate, or if anything, he's going to go backwards. He's going to regress. To get up there in that top 20, top 15, you need weapons. You need firepower off the ground, because those guys are going to really crush Demonar if he's unable to work that part of the game out. So he needs to get in the gym. He needs to bulk up. He needs to put on, I reckon, probably 5 to 7 kilograms. He needs more heat off the forehand, and he needs more pop on that first serve. Johnny Millman, he played... He played the other position. Johnny, you know, gives his all every time he's out there. But he's another one too. He's not frightening the big boys in the big matches. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. Hopefully we go back to the old format. But at the end of the day, Davis Cup, it's lost its value. It's lost its prestige. And nobody really cares. It's just as simple as that. Coming up next, we're going to get on the hot topic. The Super Bowl went down in Atlanta. Tom Brady gets the job done again. How did he do it? Bill Belichick, what makes him so good? And the Los Angeles Rams, what went wrong? Do we have a Todd Gurley sighting, or is he still missing? You're listening to No Holds Barred. We'll be back after the break.
Yeah, yeah. What would I be without you? I only think about you. Yeah. I know you're tired of being lonely. So baby girl, put it on me. What would I be without you? I only think about you. Yeah. I know you're tired of being lonely. So baby girl, put it on me. Yeah, yeah.
We are back in the studio. Jade Kolff at the Kolff Man. This is a No Holds Barred sports podcast. Yeah, Davis Cup. Where are we? Who cares? Who cares? We're going to segue now onto a much more interesting topic. The Super Bowl went down in Atlanta. One of the biggest sporting events around the globe, the Super Bowl, and it was the New England Patriots and the Los Angeles Rams who put on a defensive masterpiece, both teams. Been a lot of talk about this game. A lot of people didn't enjoy the game. A lot of people switched off. Personally, I thought it was an absolute cracker. The game was 3 points all going into the fourth quarter. What more would you want? You want close contests, whether it's high scoring or low scoring. I think a lot of people were blown away. The Los Angeles Rams throughout the NFL season averaged about 30 points a game. So they thought this thing was going to be a shootout somewhere around that 30 to 35 points. But it was the complete opposite of that. But when it was all said and done, it was the Patriots who were standing once again Super Bowl champions. Tom Brady took them on a drive late in the fourth quarter. We've seen that before. And they went over for the score. And, you know, a late field goal sealed it. 13 points to 3. Jared Goff threw an interception late, which really buried the Rams. Really buried them. They struggled to move the ball the entire contest. Their number one weapon, Todd Gurley, went missing once again. His last four or five games have been nothing short of abysmal. There had been talk over that time period of whether or not Gurley was injured or not. Coach Sean McShay, the up and about young new kid on the block. The youngest head coach in the NFL, he defended his star running back staunchly throughout, said that he was fine. But interesting numbers when it came to the Ram success. When Gurley had less than 20 carries, the Rams had a losing record throughout the season. When he had more than 20 carries, they were undefeated. They were 9-0, I believe it was, when Gurley had more than 20 carries. So wouldn't you think going into this game, into this Super Bowl, if you were the coach Sean McShay, you would say, well, you look at those numbers, you look at those analytics, you look at those metrics, I'm going to give Todd the ball more than 20 times and he's going to run. Because when he gets it more than 20 times and he's running that ball and he's ploughing forward looking for holes, the Rams got the win. But Gurley, for this Super Bowl, had 18 carries. Well, I mean, what are the Los Angeles Rams doing? Did the coaching staff not look at that coming into this game? Like, absolutely, I'm just trying to work out why that approach. That, to me, just says give Gurley the ball more than 20 times and you're going to win this game. And the Rams were right there. The Rams were definitely right there. It was just composure from Brady, composure from Coach Bill Belichick, composure from the Patriots, which is what they're known for. They never panic, and I think the Rams panicked a little bit. The Rams had a bunch of superstar players that they brought in this year to high contracts, to high one year deals. They pulled up short. They really didn't get it done. And it was the more reliable, system-oriented New England Patriots who won their sixth title, their sixth ring with Brady at the helm at the quarterback spot throughout. Now Brady, I still don't believe Brady had much of a game either. It was almost like the New England Patriots defense were performing so well throughout the contest that Brady didn't want to do too much. He didn't want to, you know, he looked like some of his throws when he was back in the pocket. Looked like some of his throws. He was playing it safe. He wasn't going for the home run. If it was a tight fit, he'd rather, you know, really throw it away. He didn't want to turn that ball over, which takes a lot of self control, a lot of mental fortitude, and he really just was like, I don't need to force anything. You know, our defense is getting the job done, and the Rams, you know, the Rams weren't able to capitalize on that. Brady was he pulled the cord in a little bit, and he waited for the Rams to slip up, and slip up they did with the interception late, but also you know, McShay, a real coaching mistake there. You know, Todd Gurley, if you're defending your star running back, your MVP candidate that he is not injured, why is he not running the damn ball? Why is he not running the damn ball? If he's injured, just you know, come out and say it. Come out and say that he's hurt. He wasn't the same player over the last 5 to 6 weeks of the year, and, you know, he just didn't have an impact, and when it's all said and done, that was the difference in the game. Also, the New England Patriots wide receiver, Julian Edelman, what a performance from him. Brady only had one receiver that he was going to, and that was Edelman. Now, don't get me wrong, their big tight end, Gronkowski, made a great catch there late to really set up the touchdown, the go ahead touchdown that put the Patriots up. But Julian Edelman, throughout the first three quarters, that was all they had. Brady was just throwing it to Edelman. Edelman was tearing up the star cornerbacks of the Rams, almost to the point where I had to go, is that Julian Edelman out there for the Patriots, or is that Jerry Rice dressed up in a Patriots uniform? I thought I was watching Jerry Rice. I thought I was watching the greatest wide receiver the game's ever seen. Said San Francisco 49ers Hall of Famer Jerry Rice, who holds every receiving record in the game. Edelman was doing all kinds of stuff, and It was like he was running around by himself. It was Harlem Globetrotters kind of stuff. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And Brady was like, "Well, I don't need to throw it to any other receivers out there. I'm just going to keep throwing it to Julian. I'm going to keep throwing it to Edelman." And they could not shut him down. It was absolutely remarkable for a team that really is stacked defensively as well. You know, they were strong in all areas. The Rams are a really well-rounded team, but Julian Edelman wins the MVP and clearly exposes the Rams. And this one to me is the one that got away from the Los Angeles Rams. One stage there late, offensive coordinator Josh McDaniel, you know, came to Brady and his offensive players and said nothing is working right now. You know, nothing that we're trying is breaking the deadlock, is getting through. So they basically threw the playbook out and just started making things up on the fly to really shake things up. And once again, it was the coaching that got the job done for the Patriots over the Rams. Coaching, very underrated aspect of sport, I believe, of pro sport. Takes great leadership. It takes great nous. It takes composure. It takes smarts. And the Patriots once again showed that they are the smartest team in the NFL, winning their sixth ring. And for the Rams, it's back to the drawing board. Todd Gurley basically went missing. I believe he was injured. He couldn't have been right. You know, looking at those metrics, you know, Coach Sean McShay and his coaching staff, he's got to admit that they were out coached, not giving Gurley the ball more than 20 times. Leads to a losing record, and you can tick that one off there. That Super Bowl, that is the biggest dent in the losing record so far for Sean McShay and the Rams, losing that Super Bowl. Just due to bad decision-making, bad coaching, and bad execution. The Patriots reign supreme again. They are the smartest team in the NFL and one of the smartest and most successful franchises in all the sports, and it's well-deserved. Coming up next, we are going to talk NBA, the National Basketball Association over in the United States. What is going on with the Los Angeles Lakers, Anthony Davis, and some of these other trades going on? And what is wrong with Kevin Durant? Is this guy ever happy? He has unloaded on the media in San Francisco in an absolute rant. We all love a rant, especially here at No Holds Barred. We'll be back after the break to talk more NBA. And I gave you my all. Now, baby, be mine. I'm not always there when you call, but I'm always on time. Yeah. And I gave you my all. Yeah. Now, baby, be mine.
One time, checking for one time, you and I got a special bond together. We go back like mama's boot when the coldest weather. And when I play, you play the same way. You freak me, baby. I fuck you crazy. And I'm gone.
We are back. Jade Kolf at the Kolf Man, the No Holds Barred Sports Podcast. We're back in the studio and we are absolutely loving it. Absolutely loving it. We're about to segue onto some NBA. But I just cannot shake Coach McShay. Give Gurley the damn ball. Did you look at the numbers, Coach? Did you look at the numbers? It's too late to look at them now. Super Bowl's over. That's one you do not get back. Todd Gurley, man. Give him the ball. All right, we're under the NBA. We need to move on. And it has been absolute pandemonium over there in the National Basketball Association. The trade deadline wrapped up yesterday, and gee whiz, over the last 10 days, the Los Angeles Lakers and the New Orleans Pelicans have been creating absolute mayhem over there. It has been out of control like you've never seen before. Now, what is going on over there, you say? Well, unless you've been hiding under a rock or you're not an NBA fan, then you would know. Anthony Davis, the 25-year-old generational superstar player who plays for the New Orleans Pelicans, has demanded a trade. He wants out. He does not want to hang around there. And there was all kinds of speculation that his management at Clutch Sports, which also represents LeBron James, the best basketball player in the world, that the Lakers were in the box seat to acquire the services of Anthony Davis. Well, over the last, you know, week to 10 days, the Lakers have been doing everything they can to make moves to acquire Anthony Davis, to the point where, you know, looking to give up basically their entire team. Players such as Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, Lonzo Ball. There was even talk of, you know, upwards of four draft picks as well on top of that. And the New Orleans Pelicans haven't budged on that. They have stayed firm, stopped returning Magic Johnson's phone calls, and has turned into an absolute debacle. The trade deadline wrapped up yesterday, and basically Davis now has to stay with the Pelicans for the remainder of the season, and other teams such as the Boston Celtics and the New York Knicks and the Los Angeles Clippers, who have also shown interest, now want to throw their hat into the ring. So where does that leave the Lakers? Well, the Lakers have really got to pick up the pieces. They were blown out by 42 points there the other night by the Indiana Pacers, and there seemed to be a real divide, you know, throughout the team. And you know, LeBron James, his as I said, his agent Rich Paul, who heads up Clutch Sports, who signed Anthony Davis about 12 months ago to their agency, to their management. It looks like they've been putting pressure on the New Orleans Pelicans to make the move. So there really is some collateral damage here. The Lakers somehow bounced back today against the Boston Celtics. They were down upwards of 25 to 30 points halfway through the second period. But they made an amazing comeback there in Boston. Obviously, the Boston Celtics and the Los Angeles Lakers have a storied rivalry, one of the biggest rivalries in sports. But the LeBron James and the Lakers come flying home. LeBron ended up with a triple-double, upwards of 28 points, 12 rebounds, and about 14 assists. Showed great leadership, led from the front, and they clawed their way back. A scramble play at the end, and Rajon Rondo popped up with the ball and sunk a 12-footer off balance, which hit nothing but net. And the Lakers won the game by a point, 128 to 127. Ironically, Rajon Rondo won a championship with the Celtics back in 2008, the point guard. He's travelled around the league as a bit of a journeyman since then. But he hit the game-winning shot. Phenomenal, really. The crowd was left stunned. And maybe that is what the Lakers needed. Maybe that's a galvanizing win for them. We were going to find out here soon over the next couple of months of whether they're able to get it together. But you know, there has been a lot of talk, a lot of media speculation around about all this, around this Anthony Davis saga. But now it seems like other teams are now in the mix. The New York Knicks freed up some cap room. They traded Kristaps Porzingis there, 7'3". Latvian center who shows all kinds of promise. This guy can shoot the ball from deep. He can do a lot of things. He had a knee injury that put him out last year, The Knicks have moved him to the Dallas Mavericks, and the Knicks look like they are cleaning house, clearing up cap room to make a run at two potential superstar free agents next season. Kyrie Irving of the Boston Celtics, he is also out of contract. And there's speculation that it may be Irving and Kevin Durant from the Golden State Warriors heading to the New York Knicks. Irving hasn't made up his mind yet. Some think he still may sign in Boston, but he's one. Look, Irving's a bit of a flake, really, if you ask me. He doesn't know what he's doing from week to week. There was even talk there he wanted to come back and play with LeBron. So all kinds of stuff going on. It's never a dull moment. Something seems to change every single day. But the New York Knicks have cleared up that cap space. And even though the New York Knicks have been a massive dumpster fire of an organization and franchise over the last 20 years, it is a massive market. That is the appeal. And maybe an Anthony Davis or a Kevin Durant heads there. I still think Davis wants to play for the Lakers, but it really comes down to New Orleans holding the rights to Davis, and they'll look to trade him during the offseason after this season, and they'll be looking to get the best assets and the best situation for their team. So the Lakers weren't able to get it done. Now they've got to sit it out. They've got to regroup. Coach Luke Walton has got a massive job on his hands. I'm not too sure if he can survive it. He's got to bring this group together and make sure they play as a team, remain professional. And I think with the team the Lakers have, with a healthy LeBron James, they can be a playoff team. They actually do have some real young talent there, but they're willing to give it up. They're willing to clean house to get the 25-year-old 7-foot Anthony Davis, who is really a transcendent player, to join LeBron in LA. As I said, Clutch Sports, LeBron's agency who represents him, they're going to take a lot of heat for this. It looks like they've tried to force things here, tried to pull a real power play, and it can't be good for their brand moving forward with this. So it'd be interesting to see what pans out with that there. But Kristaps Porzingis, the big move, he's off to the Dallas Mavericks. A good move for the Mavericks. He'll form a good combination there with their other European rookie, 19-year-old Luka Doncic, who looks like he looks like a 10-year all-star, this guy. 19 years of age, putting up incredible numbers. He's a superstar in the making. He's a star player now, but he'll be a superstar probably as early as next year. So it'll be Porzingis and Doncic in Dallas. And the New York Knicks have plenty of cap room. Knicks only winning around about 10 or 11 games so far this year. They are absolutely diabolical, but they are looking not looking at this season. They're looking to attract some superstar talent to their franchise in the off season. Will that be Davis? Will that be Durant? Will that be Kyrie Irving? It's going to be an exciting off season. Coming up next, we're going to wrap up the show. We're going to talk about our man Kevin Durant in Golden State. He's gone on an absolute rant and an absolute tear at the media at the podium after a game the other night that the Warriors won by 30. I'm going to give you my thoughts on that, and we're going to wrap up the show. This is Jade Kolf at the Kolf Man at the No Holds Barred Sports Podcast. In the house, what I have now. Not weed, I make coke, the master down. We don't want shit, better ask around. B12 throws the bomb, it's cash in town. Cause all your mom is passing out. Get her ass on the couch, but she crashes out. Come on. Fuck that, someone help the numb. Parmesan, and I think my arm is gone. Y'all probably numb, y'all dumb, and full of cum. And I think he about to swallow his tongue. Scary ass, it was a false alarm. We are back in the studio. It is No Holds Barred, the sports podcast. It's been a great show so far. some super stuff, some real fire in today's show in the studio. Man, these trades are just out of control. Speculation. It's going to be an incredible off-season. And leading that off-season, I believe, I mean, this guy is just must see TV, all these press conferences. Kevin Durant has got to be the angriest man in the NBA. And, you know, for some reason, this guy, yeah, he left Oklahoma City. He was a free agent. He went and joined the Golden State Warriors, who were the best team in the league, had won 73 games before he went and joined them. Basically jumped onto a winner. Never in the history of the NBA had one of the best players in the league go and join the best team in the league. And he copped a lot of flak for it, and probably rightly so. But since then, you know, won a couple of titles, a couple of MVPs in the finals, and he's got a pretty good in Golden State, no doubt about that. Steph Curry is still the main guy there, I believe. When Steph Curry plays, the Warriors mainly win. When Curry's been out injured, the Warriors have struggled, even if Durant's been in there. I think that irks Durant a little bit. I think that rubs him the wrong way. I think he's very sensitive about that. He hasn't got the kudos for winning those titles that he's wanted. I don't know what he expected, really. You know, with Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Steve Kerr, the organization is run very well these days. They drafted all those guys. Draymond Green is there as well. Their bench is not as strong this year, but, you know, Durant, this guy is on edge all the time, and it makes me laugh. It is must-see TV. This guy, I saw this absolute blow-up at the media in San Francisco there yesterday, and it was engaging. It really was. And what it was to do with was, like, Durant's going to be a free agent again at the end of this year, and there's speculation that he's going to leave. He's going to leave Golden State. And go somewhere else and maybe join another superstar such as a Kyrie Irving or maybe even Anthony Davis or whoever. You know, these guys talk to each other. They know what's going on. He'll know he won't be going somewhere by himself. He definitely won't be going to New York by himself. He'll want to take a running mate there with him. But Durant's got the perfect situation at Golden State. He's really a protected species. All he has to do is go in there to the arena, run up and down the court, score as many points as he wants, play some defense. Draymond Green does all the dirty work and, you know, does all the rough stuff, all the rebounding. Steph, you know, shoots the lights out. Klay Thompson, he plays defense. He doesn't really say much or get out of line. And Durant can just really do what he wants, just score. They win games and he goes home and everything's great. They win titles. But he just doesn't seem to be happy. You know, he's joined the best team in the entire NBA. And winning just doesn't seem to be, you know, scratching the itch that he needs scratched. So he's very jealous of LeBron James, there's no doubt about that. He doesn't know what he has to do to be considered better than LeBron. But the bottom line is he's not as good as LeBron. He's a fantastic player, Durant, don't get me wrong. But, you know, LeBron is the ultimate Swiss Army knife. This guy does absolutely everything. And when he does play, he looks like he is actually from another planet compared to the other guys. When he hits the when LeBron hits the nitro button, it is it's absolutely lights out. It is a freight train coming at you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And LeBron's one of those players where, when he hits that nitro button and he's maxing out and he's playing at 100%, leaving nothing left in the tank, other players actually look like it, it's clearly evident that he is he's stronger, he's more skillful, he sees the game better than everybody else. He's just really playing another game, and it stands out. It really does. But I think Durant leaving the Golden State Warriors to join the Knicks would be an absolute disaster. It would be an absolute nightmare if he joined the Knicks, because the media would absolutely eat him alive. Absolutely eat him alive there in New York. The toughest media in the world, New York City, in the, arguably the biggest city in the world. And he would be front and center there. He wouldn't have Steph Curry. He wouldn't have Steve Kerr to protect him. You know, he wouldn't have that perfect situation where, you know, you're winning your 65 games and you're the NBA favorites. You'd be joining a team that wins 20 games. And as I said earlier, over the last, you know, 20 years have been an absolute dumpster fire of an organization. And there'd be nowhere to hide. And, you know, it was hilarious there watching that press conference there the other day where, you know, after a 40-point win the other night, Durant didn't really have much to say. So it was after Porzingis got traded from the New York Knicks to the Dallas Mavericks, he had nothing to say. So it looked like the moves that the Knicks have made are to cater to someone of Durant's talents, because they clearly want him. And the media have been giving Durant a hard time about that. And he doesn't want to hear it anymore. He told them to, you know, he doesn't trust any of the media. He says they're talking about stuff all the time and all he wants to do is play basketball. Well, Kevin, let me tell you something, mate. When you are the superstar guy and you make all the money in the world, you've got to answer questions. You really do. Now, if Durant had have signed... didn't sign more than a one-year deal. If he signed a four-year deal in Golden State, then he wouldn't have to put up with all this speculation and these rumors. But because he signed a one-year deal, he wanted to keep the leverage and he wanted to keep his options open. Well, you have to answer the questions. But he's so sensitive that he just can't handle it. And I don't understand why. You know, you don't see any other superstar in the league acting this way. And I absolutely love it. I think it's fantastic. It's must see TV. And you know, the blow up there in San Francisco the other day was absolute gold. He stormed out of the press conference, and you know, he is temperamental as they come right now. And these Knicks rumors are not going to go away. But as I said, Kevin Durant leaving and joining the New York Knicks, it would be an absolute nightmare. I think it would be a real big mistake. I think he's better off staying in Golden State, where he's got an amazing situation. Everything, you know, he's a protected species there. You know, sign a long-term deal, stay with Steph Curry, keep winning titles. You don't need to do anything different. The problem is he doesn't want to do that because he's not getting the respect or the kudos because he's jumped onto a winner. It's really as simple as that. He should have thought about that before he made the move. He had other options. He could have gone wherever he wanted to go. But because he jumped onto the winner, he jumped onto the bandwagon, he still is not satisfied and he's still got that scratch to itch. That itch to scratch. Now, in saying that... you know, to join a situation like that, the Golden State Warriors, like a professional basketball player, that, you know, they worked their whole life to get themselves in that situation to win championships and to win MVPs and to be with an organization like the Warriors now, which is a finely run machine and has been for the, you know, the last 5 to 7 years. But it'd be the same. It would be the equivalent on Robert Downey Jr. You know, worked his whole life to get the role in the Iron Man series. You know, Robert Downey Jr. Worked his way up. You know, he crashed and burned. You know, had the drug and alcohol problems. Come back out of rehabilitation. You know, got his life back together and worked his whole life to get that Iron Man role, which makes him the biggest star on the planet. And it's like Robert Downey getting that Iron Man role and then going, I've had enough of that role. I don't want to do that anymore. I'm going to do small budget independent films. It's so outrageous and so random. You'd go, what? What is Downey talking about? What is Robert Downey Jr. talking about? You're going to go from Iron Man and $30 million a film to, oh, I've had enough of that. I'm going to do small budget indie films and donate my salary to charity. It's like, what you think, like, you've lost your freaking marbles. What are you talking about? You know, and that's what Durant, the same thing as Durant here. It's the Golden State situation is any superstar in the league would want that situation. You know, the winning, the scoring, the, you know, playing with those teammates, having a coach, Steve Kerr, arguably the best coach in the league. Steve Kerr's seen everything. He's done it all, played with Michael Jordan. You don't bail on that. You don't bail on that situation. And I think he's going to do it. I think he's gonna go to somewhere like the New York Knicks because he's pissed off, because he's constantly upset. He's gonna have to lead. He thinks he has to lead a team to the title. He has to lead a team and beat a LeBron James with him being the main man and a supporting cast. And I don't think he's got it in him. I really don't, especially in New York. I think it'd be a big mistake. I think the media would eat him alive. He'd be front and center. It'd be must-see TV. I kind of hope that he goes to the New York Knicks. That'd be fantastic. Geez, it'd be entertaining, that's for sure. But you don't bail on that situation that you've got there at the Golden State Warriors. There's no doubt about that. You really don't. You see that out. You stay with Steph and Steve Kerr, and you win more titles. You don't. When you are Denzel Washington, you don't give up roles like Training Day and Malcolm X to take on small budget indie films that nobody gives a damn about. I mean, let's get serious here. Durant, I think he's slowly losing his marbles. It's absolutely fantastic. It's great, the media asking the tough questions. It's what it's all about. He's going to continue to see more of it. And where he is going to continue to be a hot talking point in the NBA as his impending free agency gets close. And the New York Knicks are going to make a run at it. And I think they're going to dangle the carrot. And I think Durant's going to take it. And I think it'll be a career move, which is a mistake. But when you have a player who is not happy, when you have a superstar who is not happy, and they're winning titles and they're winning MVPs in the playoffs and they're in a great situation, it just goes to show you that some people are just never happy. And I think Kevin Durant is one of those guys, and he is going to pay the price if he leaves San Francisco. But I'll be sitting in the front row taking pictures. This is Jade Kolf with The Kolf Man. We'll be back after this break.
If you are a mess, you should just think who you are in. Okay. If you're in that room, you can't just hit me on that link like two. I'm not that type that get involved in long relationships. Why? Taking trips and buying gifts, I'm sorry, I'm not. Can't just hit me on that link like two.
I done seen some funny shh since I got in this game. They wants my crib, they wants my kisses.
We're back. No holds barred. Jade Kolf at The Kolf Man. What a show. What a show. Absolutely action-packed. Had absolutely everything. Been very, very enjoyable. What about that Novak Djokovic, huh? He's going to take some beating this year, no doubt about that. We're going to bring you all the action, keep you up to date on No Holds Barred, on all the ATP Tour and WTA Tour action. That'll be back in full swing on next week's show, next week's program. Let you know who's making an impact. And I really see a lot of the programming now on No Holds Barred over the next few weeks It's going to be a lot of NBA. What about that Kevin Durant, huh? This guy's completely off his tree. He's off his rocker. Absolutely off his rocker. But I love it. Absolutely love it. We're going to keep you posted on all the meltdowns from Durant. And we'll keep you posted on the Los Angeles Lakers. Can they come together and save the season? They've got young talent. They really do. But can they get over this Anthony Davis saga and Clutch Sports? Where to now for Clutch Sports? We're going to keep you posted on everything here at No Holds Barred. This is Jade Kolf at the Kolf Man. It's been an unbelievable show. Hope you've enjoyed it, to all the listeners out there. And we will be back next week for the next episode on the No Holds Barred Sports Podcast. We'll see you guys then.
Tears inside the body, always can be lonely, someone won't behold me. I say, come here, come here, come here, the coaster crying tears. I can't think positive when no one cares of how I feel. Relax my mind, so tired that I even try to fight. I cannot laugh though, I can ride high late night. I'm not the type that get involved in long relationships. Taking trips and buying gifts, I'm sorry, I'm not on that tip. Romance, you should just think who you are really okay. With. If you in that mood, you can't just hit me on that late night chat. I'm not the type that get involved in long relationships. Taking trips and buying.